রব্বি জান্না বাংলা বাগেরে বারাধারে যশোদানন্দন ব্রজ জনরঞ্জন যশোদানন্দন ব্রজ জনরঞ্জন যমুনা তীরবন চাহারে যমুনা তীরবন চাহারে তাই রাধা মাধব কর বিহারে রান মাধব কর বিহারে গোপী জন বাংলা বাগেরে বারাধারে গোপী জন বাংলা বাগেরে বারাধারে যশোদানন্দন ব্রজ জনরঞ্জন যশোদানন্দন ব্রজ জনরঞ্জন যমুন তীরবন চাহারে যমুন তীরবন চাহারে জয় রাধা মাধব রাধা মাধব রাধে জয় কিশোর কিশোরী জয় কিশোর কিশোরী জয় কিশোর কিশোরী জয় কিশোর কিশোরী প্রভুপাদ 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 জয় জয় প্রভুপাদ নিত্য গৌর হরিব 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 গৌর হরিব হরিনাম সংকীর্তন ইয়াগী কি জয় শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ কি জয় গ্রন্থরাজ শ্রীমদ্ ভাগবতম কি জয় সমবেত ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয় অগ্লরিস্তু সম্মুখি ভোটিস ইদায় গোপেমানন্দে শ্রীচৈতন্যমনৌ বিস্তাম স্থাপিতাম্যেন ভূতলে স্বয়ং রূপাকরম্যয়ং দধতি স্বপদন্তিকম্ বংশকৌপতরুভ্যশ্চ কৃপাসিন্ধুরেব চ পতিতানাম পাবনেভ্যো বৈষ্ণবেভ্যো নমো নমঃ শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ অদ্বৈতবিরাধা শিব সদি গৌরভক্তবৃন্দ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে हरे राम 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 हरे हरे पितामह प्रेमा पुरोविदुर्यमक्षतयानवशुपुरुषः मुक्तगुणान् सदसदसुमकालङ्कृशिष्टमगमं वचंसि मे हरे कृष्ण. सो इट्स नाइस टू बी बैक इन द एसोसिएशन ऑफ Kishore Kishore, Jagannath Bhadra Subhadra, Shishi Gaur Nitai, Srila Prabhupada, and all the assembled Vaishnavas. And discussing very exciting part of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Canto 10, Chapter 15, the killing of Dyanuka, the ass demon, killing the asses of our own ignorance. And today we'll be reading texts from 19 to 21. 21 is on board, and so I'll be reading the previous texts, and then text 21 will chant responsibly. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam Niguttatma Gati Svamayaya Tatvatmajatvam Charitar Vidam Bayan Ramerama Malita Pada Palavo Gramya Isamam Gramya Vadisha Cheshchita. In this way, the Supreme Lord, whose soft lotus feet are personally attended by the goddesses of fortune, concealed his transcendental opulences by his internal potency and acted like the son of a coward. Yet even while enjoying like a village boy in the company of other village residents, he often exhibited feats only God could perform. Shidamanama Gopalo Rama Keshavayo Sakka Subalastoka Krishna Dya Gopal Prem Nedam Abhuvan. Once, some of the coward boys, Sridhama, the very close friend of Rama and Krishna, along with Subala, Stoka Krishna and others, lovingly spoke the following words. Purport: the word Premna, with love, indicates that the request the coward boys are about to place before Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram is motivated by love, not personal desire. The coward boys were eager for Krishna and Balaram to exhibit their pastimes of killing demons and to enjoy the delicious fruits of the Tala forest, and therefore they made the following request. Text 21, please repeat. Rama Rama Mahabaho. Rama Rama Mahabaho. Krishna Dushto Nibarhana. Krishna Dushta Nibarana. Ito Vidurisu Mahat. Ito Vidurisu Mahat. Manam Talali Sankulam. Manam Talali Sankulam. Rama Rama Mahabaho. Krishna Dushta Nibarranaha. Ito Vidurisu Mahat. Manam Talali Sankulam. Please. Rama Rama Mahabaho. Krishna Dushta Nibarana. Ito Vidurisu Mahat. Sankulam. राम राम महाबाहो दुष्टा निबारहना इतो विदुर सुमहं मनां तलालि संकुलं राम राम महावहो कृष्ण दुष्टा निबारहना सुमहत बनम तलाले संकुलम हरिपो राम राम महाबाहो कृष्ण दुष्ट निबारहन इतो विदुर सुमहत बाणम तलाले संकुलम राम राम महाबाहो Synonyms Rama Rama Rama, Mahabaho, O mighty armed one, Krishna, O Krishna, Dushta Nibarana, O illuminator of the miscreants, Itaha, from here, Adidure, not far, Sumahat, very expansive. Banam, a forest. Tala Ali, with rows of palm trees. Sankulam, field. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The cowherd voice said, O Rama, Rama, mighty armed one, O Krishna, destroyer of the miscreants, not far from here is a very great forest filled with rows of palm trees. Purport. As stated in the Sri Varaha Purana, Asti Govardhanam Nama Kshetram Parama Durlabham Mathura Paschime Bhage Adurat Yojana Dvayam. Not far from the western side of Mathura, at a distance of 2 yojanas, 16 miles, is the holy place named Govardhan, which is most difficult to attain. It is also stated in the Varaha Purana, Asti Talavanam Nama Vinukha Sura Rakshitam Mathura Paschime Bhage Adurat Eka Yojanam. Not far from the western side of Mathura, 1 yojana away, 8 miles, is the forest known as Talavan, which was guarded by the Nukasura. Thus, it appears that the Talavan forest is located midway between Mathura and Govardhan Hill. The forest of Talavan is described in the Sri Hari Vamsha as follows. Satudesha samha stigdha sumaham krishna mrittikaha darbha praya stulibuto vastra pashana parchitaha. The land there is even smooth and very expansive. The earth is black, densely covered with darbha, grass, and devoid of stones and pebbles. End of the purport. We'll read the texts one more time. In this way, the Supreme Lord, whose soft lotus feet are personally attended by the Goddess of Fortune, concealed His transcendental opulences by His internal potency and acted like the son of a cowherd boy. Cowherd, Yet even while enjoying like a village boy in the company of other village residents, he often exhibited feats only God could perform. So this is the beginning of Krishna's pastimes. When he desired to herd cows, but he was too small, and that's why he was given calves instead as a matter of practice. So Krishna is 3 years old only, 3 years old boy, quite amazing, right? That in our day and age, people cannot take responsibility for their lives even when they are 30 years old. But in this circumstance, 3 years old boy, I think Shyam is seven now, right? So twice as small as Shyam, and he's already taking responsibility for herding calves. So that's quite interesting. And even though Mother Yashoda was not very happy with the idea, but because she was always associated with Krishna and she got attached to that association naturally. Any mother is attached to the son, and if the son is the Supreme Lord, that's even greater attachment. So she never wanted to be separated from Krishna at any time. And because she had the privilege of enjoying Krishna's association alone, pretty much. But now Krishna wants to go out in the forest and give other devotees opportunity for his association, such as cowherd boys and calves, and Mother Yashoda is not very happy with the idea. But then Nanda Maharaj says, no, it's good for him. Let him, you know, learn to take responsibility from very young age. And Mother Yashoda says, no, this will be very difficult for him. Because, you know, the forest of Vrindavan, there are many sharp stones and thorns, and Krishna, how Krishna will manage that? And then she decided to, she didn't want Krishna to go, but then Nanda Maharaj said, he insisted, and then Yashoda, as obedient Vedic wife, said, okay, whatever you say, I accept your authority, even though she didn't want, but she agreed. And then it's a big festival in Vrindavan. Krishna becomes Gopal. For the first time, he's going out with the calves. And everyone is giving Krishna some gifts. So apparently Krishna is getting his first flute at the occasion, and many other gifts, ropes for, for binding the legs of the cows, and buffalo horn and turban and many other things. And Mother Yashoda brought her own gift, very practical, which was a umbrella to shield Krishna from the hot sun, and shoes for protecting Krishna's feet from sharp rocks and thorns. And Krishna looks at this And she says, okay, I'm getting all these luxuries, but what about my cows? Because my prime duty is to protect the cows. And so if I will be walking with my shoes, then can all my cows have shoes as well? If anyone ever heard of cow shoes, we know about horseshoes, but not about calf shoes. So, and Mother Yashoda was trying to explain that, you know, normally it's not done, and yeah, Nanda Maharaj has 900,000 cows in his cow shed, and how many cows he has? Well, the number which is given in Bhagavatam is asankhitai. Sankhya means to count, and so asankhitai means countless. So no one could count how many calves are there. So basically the whole ocean of calves. And Mother Yashoda looked at this ocean and she said, Krishna, I can't really provide all your calves with issues, sorry about that. And not only that, but Krishna wanted an umbrella to be carried over each calf's head by a servant, because, you know, naturally calves cannot carry their own umbrellas, so they would require a servant for each. And Mother Yashoda said, I'm very sorry that we cannot organize all these things. And then Krishna says very famous thing. He says, if my cows cannot have all these things, I should never have them either, because my duty is to serve the cows first, before being served. And then he gives very famous formula, dharma rakshati rakshita, that one who is protecting dharma will be protected by the dharma as well. And so he is insisting that he cannot take any shoes or umbrella, and that's why he walks out barefoot. And it says that the cows, they learned about it from the cows. The cows told the story to their mothers, and the cows became so excited about Krishna's, you know, kindness and service attitude that they actually broke out the cow sheds at night, and they were running around like wild all over Braj, and with their very hard hooves they broke every single rock in Braj into the dust. That's why if you go to Vrindavan now, especially the area where our temple is, you can hardly find any rocks unless they are brought from outside for construction or whatever. But naturally there are no rocks, there is only dust, a lot of dust. So that dust is still there from those times, because the cows were thinking, okay, that if Krishna is going barefoot, we want him to walk on a very soft sand. And so this is very interesting loving exchange between Krishna and his cows. And yeah, he's playing the role of a coward boy in this pastime. And of course Mother Yashoda, even though she agreed that Krishna can go out, but in her heart she still disagrees with the idea of being separated from Krishna. And that's why
She tells Krishna, yes, you can go and herd your cows, but I am coming with you because, you know, I will be helping you. You are still a small boy and, you know, I am the wife of a very expert cowherd man, and I also know how to deal with cows nicely, so I'll be helping you. And Krishna says, I think we'll manage without you. But then Mother Yashoda is insisting. She said, I know you will manage, but I'll be there just to help you. And then they argue and argue, and then Krishna doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to send his mother away. And then he turns to Balaram, and Balaram is a little older and a little more blunt. And so he turns to Mother Yashoda and she says, we're not going out to herd the cows. We are going out just to play, and your very big lady, and you will not fit into our games. You know, basically they just want to be on their own. They don't want Mother Yashoda to be there. And then, yeah, Balaram says, you better stay back and we're going to be going to have our place. And Mother Yashoda says, but how about the cows? Who will be herding the cows? And Balaram says, it's not a problem because cows will be taking part in our place as well. We'll have games with cows. Because the cows are so attached to Krishna and Balaram, and it is very interesting that in all the pictures you see normally the cowherd men, they go behind the cows, right? But not Krishna and Balaram, they go in front of the cows and all the cows are following them because cows are so attached to Krishna. Because Krishna is the sweetness personified. It's like there is one pastime in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu period when he stayed in Jagannath Puri and he experienced one interesting type of ecstasy when all his limbs went inside of the body and basically he turned into the kind of golden ball. And he was lying next to Jagannath Mandir. And there is one place, those of you who have been to Jagannath Puri, you know that there is one place where there is a lot of cows. And so he fell there in the middle of the cows. And then all his associates, they became alarmed and they start looking for Lord Chaitanya. And then they saw that there are plenty of cows and they gathered around something, and you know there is a very thick group of the cows and they're really excited and they're pushing each other and they're trying to get to that something, whatever is there. And they were thinking, it's very suspicious, what's there, what is attracting cows so much? And then they kind of pushed their way forward and they saw that golden ball. They realized it was Lord Chaitanya. And then what the cows were doing, they were licking Lord Chaitanya's body because it was so sweet. And so they never wanted to leave. So Krishna is very, very attractive. Even his body is so sweet. One time we can see picture of Krishna lying and sucking his toe. You know, normally small children are doing that. They are sucking their toes. And because they like to put everything in their mouth. And then one devotee was asking Krishna, We understand that little children, they are doing that because little children are ignorant, so they want to suck their toes or anything they can see. But, you know, you are not like ignorant little child. You are all cognizant and supremely, you know, advanced Supreme Lord. So why do you do that? What's your motivation behind? And Krishna says, well, all my devotees, when they make their prayers, they say that my lotus feet are very sweet. And I was thinking, is it actually true or not? But then when I was playing the role of this small child, I was thinking, you know, let me try it out. And because I'm a small child, no one will object. No one will find it difficult. You know, if a small child puts a toe in his mouth, that's, no one finds it strange. But if an adult will do that, that's more than unusual, right? So Krishna always was curious about, you know, the sweetness of his lotus feet. And then, you know, he took that opportunity and then he tried it out. And he said, once I tried, I realized, wow, it's really sweet. It has amazing taste. And so that's why I just kept lying there and kept sucking my own toe, because I found it very sweet. So even Krishna finds himself very sweet, what to speak of others. And so that's why Krishna is Krishna. What is the name Krishna means? Anyone knows? All attractive, yes. And so, yes, because Krishna is so attractive, then he doesn't have to, you know, make any effort to herd the cows. So cows just running behind Krishna. And so, yes, as it is described by Shivaram Maharaj, based on so many evidences from Shastra and previous acharyas, you know, once they kind of get rid of the parental control, you know, Krishna, Balaram and all the cowboys, they just went running like wild bunch into the forest. You know, the all the boys went running, and all the cows, you know, cows are also getting very excited. If anyone have ever seen the calf untied, you know, I mean, they can do crazy things. They can jump in the air and, you know, run around themselves like that, trying to catch their tail, or, you know, cows can be very wild. And so, you know, this was completely wild bunch, wild mix, you know, all these boys and all these cows just, you know, hit the forest. And so they were playing all these amazing games. And then we can see that these demons sent by Kamsa are regularly interrupting Krishna's pastimes. And actually, no demon can enter into Vrindavan without without Krishna's will, without Yoga Maya's permission. And so actually acharyas are explaining that demons are also very useful creatures, because they play very important part in Krishna's pastimes. Because Krishna can be so carried away by playing with his devotees and enjoying that, you know, that we also like doing things we like, and we can also be carried away. But the problem is that we have material bodies, right? And material bodies go hungry or tired or both. And so that's why no matter how much we enjoy doing whatever we do, we have to take a break for either lunch or rest. But in case of Krishna and his friends, because they all have spiritual bodies, and spiritual bodies never go hungry and never go tired, and so they can carry on enjoying their pastimes forever, basically speaking. You know, during the daytime they have day pastimes, at night they can invent some night pastimes and just carry on. And of course it is very nice for Krishna and his friends and cows, but it's not, it's a big problem for Mother Yashoda, for example, or Nanda Maharaj. Just imagine, Krishna went to the forest and never comes back home. And they didn't even have mobile phones to give Krishna a call. Krishna, where are you? What's happening? Right? And so what to do? There are no mobile phones. And so somehow, and you can imagine that Mother Yashoda is in anxiety waiting for Krishna to come back. And she also provides Krishna with a lunchbox. And she is expecting Krishna to take his lunch. But if Krishna is playing all day long, that he will forget about his lunch. And in the evening he will forget about coming back home. And yeah, I mean, any mother has this experience. When children are playing, it's very hard to get them back home, right? They don't want to stop, and they only stop if they are either tired or hungry. And so what to do with Krishna, it's even harder. And that's why Yoga Maya is allowing some demons in Krishna's pastimes, because demons are coming exactly at the time, you know, Yoga Maya is just letting them in one at a time, one for lunch and one at the end of the day. And those demons, acharyas are explaining, are serving as alarm clocks for Krishna and his friends. Because, you know, during lunchtime, this another demon comes, breaks into Krishna's pastimes, and then they fight and kill that demon. And then what they, you know, after they finished it, they think, okay, what's next? Oh, it's a lunchtime, so let's take lunch. And then they have the pastime of taking lunch, and then they carry on, you know, their games. And then another demon comes at the end of the day, and they fight and kill that demon, and then they see, okay, wow, the sun is setting, so looks like it's time to go home. So that's why demons are very useful creatures in Krishna's pastimes. So everything is under Krishna's control. And this is very interesting for us, because, you know, materialistic mentality is to see good and bad, right and wrong. But Krishna conscious mentality is beyond that duality, seeing good and bad, right and wrong, and that is to see that everything is controlled and organized by Krishna. And that's why devotee is never concerned, whatever is happening. He understands, okay, Krishna is in control, right? Sometimes we don't know how it is, what kind of plan Krishna is executing, but at least devotees always have faith that everything is happening according to Krishna's plan, even though it might not be happening according to my plan. And that's why devotees are always peaceful and blissful, because they are focused on Krishna. And so we can see this very interesting pastime is the prelude for kind of change of roles. And in here, Lord Balaram will be stepping into killing Denukasura demon, and this will be the first demon killed by Balaram. And so a very interesting, I mean, there are so many interesting details connected to this pastime. Unfortunately, we're limited in terms of what we can discuss. Maybe tomorrow we can say a little more. But one very important detail in this pastime that cowherd boys, they are telling Krishna and Balaram that there is a forest nearby here and there are many nice tall fruits, and tall is like a palm kind of tree, and it gives very sweet fruits. And they say all these fruits, they have very nice fragrance, and we want to enjoy those fruits. But they will explain a little later that we cannot enjoy those fruits because they are guarded by this demon in the form of an ass, Denukasur. And Krishna, you are the killer of the demons, and so for you it's not a problem to kill that demon, and then after you do it, we can all enjoy fruits. So we are hungry and we want fruits, and these are the eternal associates of the Supreme Lord, the most perfect devotees of all. And even on the basic level, we know that devotees are not supposed to be attached to the fruits. Right? Attachment to the fruits is considered to be materialistic attachment for sense gratification. And that's why there are so many verses in Bhagavad Gita. Anashrita karma phala. One should not be attached to the fruits of one labor. Or another famous verse in, second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Karma nevadikaraste ma phalishu kadachana. You have the right to perform your duties, but you should not be attached to the fruits. So there are so many verses in Bhagavad Gita which are discouraging us from being attached to the fruits. And yet, in this pastime, the cowherd boys are so attached to the fruits. They are so attached to the fruits that they even want to engage Krishna and Balaram in providing them with the fruits, which seems very much like mundane religious kind of attitude, right? Kaitava dharma, against which the entire Bhagavad Gita speaks, right? Dharma projita kaitava tra paramo nirmatsaran masadam. That kaitava dharma means cheating religion when we try to engage God in our service. And that's what practically all religious people do all over the world. If God is not serving me, why do I need this kind of God? Let me look for somebody else. Right? That's the only reason people become religious, because they hoping that God will please their senses, God will serve all their needs. And this is cheating, because God is not our servant. That actually we are the servants of the Supreme Lord. And so instead of thinking what can God do for us, we should be thinking what can we do for Him. And that's bhakti. And yet in here we can see the opposite example. That these cowherd boys, they are asking Krishna to provide them with the fruits. And they say, okay, we are hungry, so do that job for us. And so we should be wondering what's going on. But then acharyas are explaining that, yes, it looks very unusual, but there is a good reason why. Because actually their motivation is that these nice fruits are so delicious and we want them to be enjoyed by Krishna. So we want Krishna and Balaram to enjoy those fruits. And this idiot demon is, not eating the fruits himself and not allowing anyone else to enjoy those fruits. So we want Krishna and Balaram to kill this demon and his friends, as we will know, so that they could enjoy the fruits. So they wanted the fruits for Krishna. But because Krishna is self-sufficient Supreme Lord and he has no desires for himself, he is completely free from desires for self-gratification. And so if they tell Krishna, Krishna, we want you to enjoy those fruits, so please kill that demon and enjoy those fruits, Krishna will say, who cares? We have enough fruits, we have enough food in our lunch boxes, so let this guy die on the top of these fruits. I'm not bothered. But yeah, so nothing will happen. So Krishna has no desires, and if his devotees have no desires, then that's it, right? There is no pastime. So for the sake of pastime, they are saying Krishna, because Krishna loves his devotees and he wants to do something for his devotees. And they say, Krishna, please, we want those fruits, so please for us, you kill that demon. And we'll enjoy that fruits. But at the back of their minds, they are thinking that Krishna and Balaram ends up killing that demon for a good reason. We won't be touching right now. They are thinking Krishna will kill that demon and then he will enjoy all those fruits. So, I mean, all these things are very esoteric, right? And seem to be like really far, like light ages away from what's going on in our lives. But Krishna consciousness should be characterized with the ability to see the connection between what's going on in there and what's happening in here, in our life. And, Denukasura was not alone. There were many, many other demons who occupied very nice part of the forest, and they had all these fruits they could not enjoy, but they would not allow anyone else to enjoy. And if we look, and fruits means everything nice, everything attractive, everything pleasurable. And if you look around, of course we're not living in the jungle, in the forest, but we are living in concrete jungles of Chicago, right? And so in those concrete jungles of Chicago, you can find many, many nice things and many pleasurable things, but they are occupied and guarded by ass-like people who are totally ignorant of their position, and they are very greedy, and they try to enjoy all these wonderful things for themselves, and they can't even enjoy it. They suffer as a result. But they won't let anyone else to enjoy that. And so, of course, it's not to say that we want these people to be killed. and take everything away from them. Actually, it's not recommended in our age because the process is different. So that's why Lord Nityananda tells Lord Chaitanya that in this day, we're not meant to kill the demons. But what should we kill? The demonic mentality by the power of Krishna consciousness. Destroy the ignorance. Destroy people's ignorance and that I would suggest that this should be our meditation, that there are so many wonderful fruits around in Chicago alone, and whom do we want these fruits to be enjoyed by? Krishna. We want Krishna to enjoy all these things, right? How many of you ever passed by some maybe nice building or something nice or park or whatever, and you had a thought, I wish that it would be enjoyed by Krishna or used, enjoyed by Krishna and utilized by the devotees in the service. Anyone ever had this kind of thought? Okay, very good. So that's very natural. But then, if we tell Krishna, Krishna, we want you to enjoy all these things, what Krishna will say? I am detached. I have no interest. I have enough enjoyment. So how do we motivate Krishna to make that happen? Okay, let me see, how many of you want the entire Chicago to belong to Krishna and everything be used in Krishna's service? Very good. But if we tell Krishna, Krishna, we want you to enjoy this, we want all this to belong to you, Krishna says, I'm not so interested. So what do we do? Anyone has any idea? How do we follow in the footsteps of these eternal associates of the Lord? Anyone remembers what did they tell Krishna and Balaram? Nobody remembers. Of course, it was 20 minutes ago, when we were much younger and our memories were much sharper than now. But just to remind everyone that coward boys were telling Krishna, we want to enjoy these fruits. So that should be our mentality. Krishna, I want this to happen. And I want to use it, and once we get it, we can use it for Krishna. So that's real bhakti. We want something for Krishna so strong that this desire should be stronger than the desire of materialistic people to achieve something for their sense gratification. So we'll stop here and we'll continue hopefully tomorrow. And if anyone has any comments, questions, corrections, suggestions, complaints, you can share those. Subal Prabhu. You can speak louder, we can still hear. I see, okay.
Thank you, Maharaj. It's wonderful to have you here. And
thank you.
On behalf of Kishore Kishori and our temple, we'd like to welcome you and
thank you.
Thank you for the class. One thing that is always very intriguing, understanding this Kaitava Dharma principle, one can see it black and white. Well, cheating religion, you don't, you know, religions that are materially motivated is out. And the dharma that is given to us by Krishna and our acharyas, the Bhagavatam, is param dharma, which is unmotivated. However, Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita that in the beginning there is motivation. And Sukritina, you know, Artajigyasa, Artarati verse. And we know that in the process of Krishna consciousness, we have this, most of us, we have this mixed
desires, yes,
along devotional as well as material. And the recommendation, well, we engage and in the process of purifying that.
Mm-hmm.
So does that stage of not pure or unmotivated devotional service falls still within this Kaitava Dharma principle?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's quite a deep question. And yes, actually, it's very important to discriminate in a right way. You know, there is wrong kind of discrimination when we discriminate people or according to race, caste, religious affiliation or whatever, right? Or this person is very good because this is white person and this person is not good because this is black person, right? For example. Or this person is very good because he is following this religious path and that person is not very good because he is following that religious path. So if we can see in Bhagavad Gita, the discrimination is not given according to external affiliations. The discrimination is given according to the three modes of nature. And three modes of nature are operating. And that's why I suggest that our discrimination should not be vertical, you know, this category, that category, but it should be horizontal. This type of consciousness or another type of consciousness. Because, you know, like, someone might think, oh, white people are good and black people are bad, but that's vertical discrimination, right? But if you look practically, there are plenty of idiots amongst white people and there are plenty of, you know, very nice people amongst black people, for example, right? And vice versa. So each group has all three modes and all types of consciousness in the group. And that's why it's very important for us to discriminate according to consciousness, according to modes of nature, rather than, you know, externally dividing people into different groups. And yes, that it's very interesting to prepare this class. I was also listening to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj's class on the same verse, and he said very interesting thing. He said there is plenty of mundane religiosity and abuse in each religion, including ours, including us. So yeah, Radhanath Maharaj is very straightforward and can be sometimes even blunt in, you know, like very short but very kind of thought-provoking statements. And we can see it is true that it does not depend on our affiliation. And material desires It's not a problem. Material desire is not a problem. The problem is the direction in which we are going. That's why it's better to be at the bottom and going to the top than being at the top going to the bottom, right? So, and we can see those examples. I mean, Bhagavatam is so full of those examples, right? Like sixth canto of Vritrasura and Indra fighting. So, very shocking example of devotional demon, that's Vritrasura, right? He's demon externally, but his consciousness is pure devotion. And demoniac devotee, that's Indra, right? Even though he's a devotee, official devotee, but his mentality is very demoniac. He's ready to kill anyone for his position, just to protect his sense gratification, which is really a byproduct of Krishna consciousness. And that's why the motivation is the most important, not the external position or activity in itself. And that's why in the verse which you mentioned, which describes four types of people who come to Krishna, right? Chatur, Vida Bhajanti Mam Jana Sukriti Norjana. So these four types of people, Arto Jigyasu Artati Jnani Chabhatar Shabha, that Krishna says, of all these people, Jnani is the best, you know, one who is actually intelligent. Because those who materially motivated, you know, those who are miserable or want some improvements in their lives, they can come to Krishna and it's very easy with bhakti to solve any problem. Or if anyone wants material advantages, I mean, I can see devotees less effort materially, more results. Materialistic people, they make so much effort and hardly, you know, they get such results. I mean, devotees can really live quite, you know, laid-back lives and get more results than materialistic people. So Krishna is providing materially everything. But if someone is only focused on that, then that's it. My problems are solved, I've got improvements, and then, you know, my motivation for serving the Lord ends there. And then, you know, that's it. I'm moving on in my life. And so those people, they don't stay with Krishna, right? And that's why Krishna says, Tesham Jnani Niti Yuktaika Bhakti Vishishate, that only Jnanis are the best, because, you know, they have no material motivations, that they can become the best bhaktas. And that's why, yeah, the Kaitava Dharma is not according to external positions, but according to people's motivations. And yes, the most important thing is that, okay, you want money, or you want position, or you want anything, it's not a problem. The problem is what you want it for. You want it for yourself, or you want it for your service to Krishna. If you want it for yourself, it's a problem. If you want it for service of Krishna, it's actually very good. That's what we should be striving for. And automatically, you know, our problems are solved. Like Prabhupada was saying, that if you get $100, $10 or $20 or $50 are included in there, right? Or if you want to pass exam and get the best grades, even if you get difficult question, you will still pass it. Right? because everything else you know very well. But if you just want to get by, it's easy to fail. So that's why if we want to please Krishna, we don't have to worry about our own little sense gratification. It will come automatically. If you build a big temple for Krishna, you don't have to worry about your own house. You can live in the temple, Srila Prabhupada says, and serve Krishna there. Yeah, instead of building small house for yourself, just build a big house for Krishna, like that. Instead of striving something for yourself, do something for Krishna. Do big. Think big and do big. That was Prabhupada's formula. And so, yes, thinking small is Kaitava Dharma, and thinking big is serving God. That's bhakti. All right? Hare Krishna. Thank you all for your kind attention. So we'll stop here and hopefully continue tomorrow. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.